Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Wealth DNA with Ron the Ronald Naraki. It's time to check your wealth DNA so you can enjoy the second half of life. Here's the host of the show, Ron Naraki.
Hello, world. Welcome to the Wealth DNA radio show. It's November 22nd, 2010, 8 o'clock a.m. in Arizona, and it's chilly out here today. Of course, most of the rest of the country and the world don't consider this chilly, but for us it's chilly. I'm Ron Naraki. It's good to see many of you back again, and welcome to some first-time listeners. When I say that, I notice a few checking if their video camera is on to see if we're watching them. Today we have a great show planned for you. We've got a special guest. We'll introduce him very shortly, and we are hopeful that his cohort will be able to join us. We don't have confirmation yet, but we sure hope he can here in the Phoenix, Arizona studios. You may have some questions during the show, and there's three ways to ask them. First of all, on your screen there is a green chat button. Just click that, and that brings up a chat window. You'll see who is on, and you will be able to, type in a message at the bottom. The second is to call in. Call in on our line. It's 917-388-4162. Let me repeat that. So the call-in number is 917-388-4162. And you will be on initially in mute, and our producer will ask if you want to come on live with the question. So either way, our producer will help you through that. And then there's a third way. If you're either bashful or just want to ask the question privately or afterwards, you can send me an email. It's ron@theronald.us. So ron@theronald.us. Well, it's Thanksgiving week here in the U.S., and many of you are looking forward to some time off with your families, while others are probably looking forward to earning a few extra dollars in part-time jobs for the holidays. And you can hear more and more of the retailers and small businesses hiring, staffing up for the holidays, which is always good news for those people having a little bit more difficult time making ends meet. Since my sister and brother-in-law will be away on Thanksgiving Day, we already had our Thanksgiving dinner this weekend. I don't know what it is, but something about Thanksgiving Day that makes us eat just one more helping than we really need it. But I sure did, and I noticed it, that's for sure. I'd like to ask you to take some time this week to make a list. Not a to-do list, but a list of the many things you're thankful for, because that's what Thanksgiving Day was all about. That's how it all started, thanking your neighbors, friends that help us through a difficult year, and boy, it has been a difficult year for many. Probably at the top of the list will be your parents and your immediate family for helping it through and bringing it to where you are. And right near the top should be your health. I've learned that if you aren't thankful for what you already have, you won't be thankful for what you get when you want, you know, what you want. So, you know, you're wishing for all sorts of things and you need things, but if you're not thankful for what you already have, then when those things come along, you may not be thankful for those either and not appreciate the fact that you've gotten them. I may have shared with some of you how thankful I am to be alive. No, I didn't have one of those life or death tragedy experiences, but my parents had a birth and death experience. My parents had planned to have two kids, and I'm the third. The firstborn was stillborn, a real tragedy for my parents and probably a major contributor to why my mother's health condition was very poor. Her heart was very poor later in her life. On the other hand, had that tragedy not occurred, I probably wouldn't be here to enjoy the life I have. So you can sure bet I'm thankful, and I'll use this Thanksgiving week to reflect on that and many other things that I can be thankful for. Now, I've heard another quote to say very much the same in a different way. Let me read this quote to you. It is not how much you have, but how much you enjoy what makes happiness. Let me read that again. It's not how much you have, but how much you enjoy that makes happiness. And that's from Kemmons Williams, 20 Tips for Success. Not a commonly well-known author, but he had 20 Tips for Success. Kemmons Wilson, his 20 Tips for Success. That's one of them. And wow, that was a great segue. Kemmons Williams, as I said, 20 Tips for Success. That's a great segue to our topic today. We're going to be talking about a book, Success or Failure, The Choice is Yours. Great title and very much on topic. One of our special guests today is the author. His son, TJ, is the co-author with him. So let me introduce him. Tom Legering, he's an author, radio show host, businessman, entrepreneur. He's a SCORE counselor, helping people every week make their businesses better. And even the surprising one, he is an Iron Butt gold medalist. And we're going to, of course, ask Tom about that. But welcome, Tom. It's a real pleasure to have you join us on the Wealth DNA radio show.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure.
Today we're going to focus quite a bit on your book and the training courses you've launched around that book. So before we jump into that part, let me ask you to tell a little bit about your career and the other parts of your life. And of course, you can't miss that Iron Butt competition, and I know you were part of that grueling race, or a grueling ride, I guess is the right term, again this year. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your career and your life?
Well, I'll start with my introduction into the Iron Butt. There's about 50,000 members worldwide. In order to get in it, you ride your motorcycle 1,000 miles in 24 hours and be able to prove it.
Okay.
They have several group rides, and they have solo rides that you can go on by yourself. I have two records that I have. I rode my motorcycle 1,609 miles in less than 24 hours, and the
wow.
other one is 3,206 miles in less than 48 hours. And those are rides that we do. We're endurance riders that are dedicated to endurance with safety. So we're very guarded about. We're not racers. We're endurance riders. And
right.
the whole idea is to be able to see how much you can control your body with your mind so that you have, when you have to sleep, you know you have to sleep. And you do the things that you have to do in order to get your mission accomplished. And the whole thing is to be able to prove it. So, but my regular, my business life started. I was very fortunate to have a father that raised me differently than my brother. We're very distinct, separate people, and he raised us that way so that we could get the best out of what we had to offer. So I've been retired seven times in life. I started with Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill in the while I was in the Army at age 19. I had my plan for what I wanted to do and be a success in my life. And each time I reached a goal or a success plateau, I found I still needed something else to do. I wasn't complete. And what the problem is that, and that's what led me to my book, to writing the book, is that it isn't just about having success equals money. Success is the success an individual wants for themselves while they have a balance in their life. And just, Ron, just what you were mentioning about your family and writing down the things that you're thankful for.
Right.
And those are the ideas that I try to push in my book, which is a very simple book. It's things that I've read, things that I've done and how I've worked it out. And now at 72 years old, I'm having the best time of my life. I mean, I still intend to, next year I'm going to ride my motorcycle in June. I have a lot of plans in the future, but in June I'll be riding my motorcycle in all 48 states plus Alaska.
Wow.
Which I've done twice already in less than 7 days. And I intend to do that and then make a return trip in less than 14 days. So, you know, you keep having goals and things that you want to reach, but then you find out that after you do build your wealth, like I know it after talking with you several times, how you're helping people reach their financial goals.
Correct.
But like once you get your financial goals, then you have to start giving things back to prove you're being thankful. And we live in the greatest country in the world, and the greatest opportunities are here right now. And people just have to wake up and define what success means to them. And exactly what you said, write down what you're thankful for now, and then be able to move forward.
Absolutely. Obviously, agree.
Where I'm
agree
at.
With you.
It's. I think as we move forward, you know, and you've. Like right now, I do have quite a few business ventures. I have three companies that I'm involved with. Sun City Country Club is a golf course and country club in Sun City, Arizona. We're in the process of returning it to its former greatness. It's a wonderful jewel of a golf course and a island of serenity in this busy metro Phoenix area.
Yep.
And it was getting run down, and now we've got it returned, and eventually it will be a monetary success as well as a psychic income success. So these are the kind of things that you work on as you are retired. And like I say, I'm in my seventh retirement right now, so I'm trying to have that balance where I get to do the things I want to do and work on my bucket list and move forward from there.
Well, and I think the more times you leave retirement and stay active, you probably that bucket list is going to be fairly long, and you have a lot of time to make it through it.
Well, you have to. What I've found is, you know, they say you have to have 100 things that you want to do, and I figure as long as I keep putting things on my bucket list, I'm just going to keep going.
Exactly, exactly.
Have a longer life and enjoy it more.
Hey, two things. I just want to dig in a little bit deeper. Sun City Country Club. Now, Sun City, as I recall, started in 1960, so it's probably going through its 50th anniversary. Was the golf course started right around the time of the start of the community?
This was Sun City Country Club is the first country club built by Del Webb. He built some golf courses in developments that he had going, but he never allowed a country club to be built in that in his development. And so this was the first one that he allowed to be in here. And it for about 40 years, was the number one place in the West Valley to be a member of. They had large waiting lists, and now it's returning to that condition where the membership allowed it to kind of deteriorate just because of the age of the members. And
right.
Now country club attitude is changing, and the game of golf is getting better and stronger, contrary to some reports, but it is, and people are learning the life lessons from golf, and that's one of the things that I do with my book is we're donating the proceeds to help autistic kids learn life lessons from golf, and it seems to be one of the few sports or athletic events that a autistic child can start. We have a top 50 LPGA teaching professional here at Penny Pulse who's gotten her credentials to be able to teach autistic kids, and it's amazing. She works with children as young as 4 years old. So there's a lot of things that tie into the new situation. The baby boomers are coming, and they're changing a lot of things. They will be the new retirement. Retirement is not what it used to be.
Correct. Correct, exactly. A lot of it's how we define it. One last comment on the iron butt. I mean, for the people that don't know you yet, and I'm sure they're going to want to get to know you or haven't attended some of your courses, haven't seen your picture, you probably look less like a stereotypical motorcycle rider than even I do. So hopefully people aren't forming this impression of what Tom Legring looks like based on the fact that you've ridden in that and been a gold medalist in that Iron Butt ride. So you know, I don't want somebody to get the wrong impression of what to expect when they walk in and see you, because you definitely look much more like a mature businessman as opposed to a motorcycle rider, but it's great to see various aspects of your life the way you have them set up.
Well, motorcycling does have a bad reputation, and that's primarily from the 50s in the,
sure.
the different movies that come out and give people ideas. But motorcycling is a real challenge. It takes 6 times more concentration to ride a motorcycle than it does to ride a car. And what anybody that's interested in motorcycles, I always recommend, even my children are riders, you don't have somebody, your best friend, teach you how to ride a motorcycle. You go to motorcycle safety training, and you practice, and you go to courses and classes, and you learn how to ride and be safe on the whole idea is safety, because we're not well protected. So it's
yep.
only between your ears is the only protection you get. But you see, that's the only protection you get in life, is what's between your ears. It's not somebody else helping you. Oh, I need help, I need help. What we're trying to do with our book is help people once they decide what their definition of success is and how do they get started to write that when all they have all these other pressures, but it's usually outside of them where their pressures come from, not inside.
Correct, correct. Hey, one more thing I just want to mention, because that was the biggest surprise after I got to know you a little bit. We sat down and talked about what I'm doing in my business. I found out that one of your past entrepreneurial ventures was starting a true self-directed account management company. And even now, many years later, about 1 or 2% of the population have any idea that there is such a thing as a self-directed IRA account that can be invested in real estate and, horses, private companies, a whole number of alternative investments around, other than on Wall Street. So it seems like it's an exclusive club, and yet you are one of the pioneers in setting up a company to do those things. Is it coincidence that 1 or 2% of the population know about self-directed IRAs and only 1 or 2% of the population become wealthy?
I would say there's a very great correlation. This information, you see, is out there for everyone. However, most people get their information from the newspapers, and what are the organizations that profit most by IRAs?
It's Wall Street.
It's Wall Street. And what do they have except huge budgets to market their systems? So most people just say, oh, well, I'll just go with my company plan. This is the whole idea that I try to tell people. Don't get in the herd mentality unless you want to be part of the herd. The herd isn't really there protecting. They're just protecting the strongest. And what your goal is you have to look inside and find out what you want. And then as far as having a self-directed IRA, we just looked at what the laws were, because we know I've got 50 years of real estate experience, and I'm a certified property manager. And these are things that I've learned. In one of my business that my daughter's running in California, REMS Management, Real Estate Management Services, we used to manage as many as 3,500 units for the state of California. And since the state didn't have any money, we had to supply the money for the maintenance and repairs, and then they would pay us back after 90 days with no interest.
Right.
It's you look around and you see what the systems are, and they're not set up to make the individuals wealthy. That they're not set up so that the individual can take control of themselves. They have to put their money with somebody, and then that money rises or falls based on that. But self-directed IRAs, IRA accounts, they're set up so people can individually invest in places that they want to be invested. And like I've looked at your program, which I greatly admire, because people can make investments in this market. Like I take my money to the bank, and I leave it in the non-interest bearing because I get so mad after I get paid a 0.5% on my funds that then I have to pay taxes on that. It isn't worth the paper and the time to write that up. I come out behind after I look at how much time I have to write up answers for taxation on my 0.5%. It's criminal, basically, as far as
totally I agree.
Concerned. The government bailed out everybody except the individuals. They bailed out Wall Street, but not the investors that lost all their money. They bailed out the companies because those companies are what feeds the politicians. And if you know that, and I have nothing but the greatest respect for our country. I have less than respect for some of our politicians.
I have to agree with you there, and I think the voters sure stepped out and said they're not happy with the incumbents, and we want some changes, and we want changes back to the good old days, I think. But Tom, let's jump over to your book, Success or Failure, The Choice is Yours. Before we jump into the content, though, what inspired you to write the book? In some ways, you could have just said, hey, retirement is good or life is good. I got all these things going on. Why did you commit the time to do it? I know it's not for the income stream because you donate most of your proceeds to charity. So what inspired that?
I donate all of the proceeds other than direct costs. So I don't. Main thing is I personally don't make any money from it. I do donate my time. I'm actually putting out about 40 hours a week in volunteer time because I volunteer in different areas other than just the book. But then I spend about 30 hours a week on my businesses. But that's just how that came about. The book actually was written to show my children, who I love dearly, and they've gone through some things watching me do things, because I have not always been successful. Some of the greatest successes that I've done has helped make other people money, and, you know, that's just part of my life. But once you get to a certain amount of money, then you become a target, which in my naivete, I didn't understand that. So I was in a meeting once with about 9 other people, and they excused 8 people and told me to stay because I was getting sued, and they took about $5 million back when I only had 4. And so you look around and you try to figure out, well, why? I asked them, I said, why are you suing me? I didn't have anything to do with it. Well, you're the only one with any money, and we'll make a tie. So, yeah, it was on me. But, you know, you learn as much from your – well, excuse me, you learn more from your failures than from your successes. And I've had enough of those to be able to write the book. But to come down to why I wrote it was to explain to my children what things I went through and what methods, even though I got tipped over a couple times, how did I get back on the horse and ride? And was I enjoying? I enjoyed it when I got tipped over just as much as I enjoy it as I'm moving forward and get control of my financial life. So those are things I've always known that it's me that's in control of it. So my children, I have 4, one stepson and 3 of my own, and they're all doing, would I say they're doing what I want them to do? No. I want them all being in the family business, and 2 out of 4 are in the family business, and they're happily doing that. So I'm happy with them doing what they want. My oldest daughter went back to college. She's just finishing up this year, and she'll have her degree in teaching and be able to teach special needs children. So that's you know, I couldn't be happier. They have read the book, and they kind of understand their dad a little bit more, and that's why I wrote it. But since then, it's taken on a life of its own, as we are seeing it help other people help themselves in
right.
these trying economic times. And my first success story and what led me to go out to help other people with the book was here at Sun City Country Club, we have a meeting every Wednesday with small businesses joined to do networking. All we do is
Correct.
Get together and introduce ourselves. We don't try to sell products. We try to find out who the other person is and build relationships so that it's easy to buy or do business with these people. And we get anywhere from 60 to 100 people show up every week. And in that group, a lady came to me after one of the meetings and said that she was having some difficulty. She's 76. That was 2 years ago. She was 76 years old, and she just got fired. And she was very upset, didn't have enough money to make it at that age, and she didn't want to be a burden on her children. So she asked me if she had read my book, and she wanted to know if I would mentor her so that she could get on with her life and not be a burden on her children. And
wow.
I just talked to her. Name is Pat Horton. I had her on our radio show, and she now is 78. She has her own business. She is absolutely known all over the west side of Phoenix, and
right.
she's spreading out over all of Phoenix. And at one time she said that she had this idea that she would work until she was 90 and then retire. And I recently asked her, I said, well, how's it going? She said, couldn't be more wonderful. I'm enjoying life to the fullest right now. I have a new exit strategy. I am going to work till I'm 95, then I'm going to sell my business and retire and move to Kentucky. So it doesn't matter how old you are, as long as you understand you're in control. And that was really the whole purpose of writing the book. And then this was, after meeting with Pat, we figured out that we could work with other people, and this would benefit other people. And that's really why we're doing what we're doing.
Boy, and you sure are doing a lot. And we'll get back to some of those things. But let's help our listeners understand that book in kind of a nutshell. Because you talk about the steps. And would you cover some of those steps with us in terms of in making that decision and what you need to do to either be successful or fail?
Yes, the main thing is the choice is yours. I go through six steps, but there's a seventh one and an eighth one. The first one is that's not part of it is to get started. To understand
right.
you are in charge of you, how you think, your attitude of how everything goes in your life. And all I ask people to do is sit down, write down where they're at. Are they happy with what they're doing? If they're not, then they're in charge of it. So then they write down, the first step is to write down and define what success means to them, and then to understand how you move from that into having a balanced life, because it's not all about money. Money, you need money because it gives you choices. In business, it's just another tool. If you have enough money, you can just about solve most of your problems as long as you stay ethical in all of your business dealings. Then I move to the people into the third step, which is six steps to all of your goals. Napoleon Hill wrote his book, Think and Grow Rich, and in there, he has a list of six items for people to do and follow. And every one of the times I have personally come to a goal and then move forward, I always had to go back to those six steps. I write down things, and I get started on a new plan. And I will tell you, it works. It's worked for
right.
over 2 million people. And anybody that starts that. But what I try to do is get them to understand the first part is balance in your life, because it's not – because I have chased the money most of my life because I thought that was the goal I had to go for. And I'm trying to tell people, no, it's not more money. If you got $10 million, you don't need $100. But if you're going to make $100, what are you going to do with it? And as my partner in California says, there's only one reason to make a lot of money, and that's to be able to give it to places where you think it will do the most good. So anyway, go through that, then how to get started, and then to understand whether you work for another company or you're working for yourself in your own business, you are a business. Either one of those positions means that you are a business. So if you're working for a major company or any company, you have to understand that if you look and see how you can produce more money than you're getting paid, because first of all, if you get paid a dollar, you got to get the boss $1.28 to pay you, because it cost him 28% in all of his taxes to provide you with a job. But then he wants to be in business to make money himself. So you got to make a dollar plus 28% and then some money for the boss. And if you do that, if you go into places and you need a job in these trying times where it's hard to get jobs, I've helped people get jobs where they went in and said, look, I'm qualified for this job, I want this job, and here's what I will do. I know that I have to make you more money than you pay me, and if you'll give me the training to do that, I will produce for you. That will be my major job. Then after you move through that step, you go into your business plan. I'm a SCORE counselor, so I've included an actual business plan for people to do. And if you're an employee, then you have to know that you give 8 hours to your present boss, but then you've got 8 hours for yourself. And where do you invest? I mean, how do they go about finding you, Ron, so that they can invest with your company in the nice programs that you've put together and understand these things? So if they don't understand them, A, they can come to you for some advice, or they can go to my book. These are all things that are out there for them. They are in charge, and if they come to you and you give them the good answers, maybe they don't have enough money to invest with you right away, but then they get started on a program to build up enough money so that they can come. And there's a lot of different ways that people can actually do that, but if they have no plan, then that's the plan they got. No plan is their plan, and that will lead to nowhere. So
The old if you fail to plan, you plan to fail.
That's your plan. And now with our book, your listeners can go online and look at www.successorfailure.org, all run together, no spaces. Mm-hmm. And they can look at our website and see how to buy the book or get into this program. It's a simple book. It's 30 pages, and my associate, Dr. Terry Munther, we're going to teach a class at Rio Salado College, and eventually we will be trying to get this book accredited as a college course. And in order to do that, I'll have to flesh it out with all the things, like the conversation that we've been having so much today about the book is basically about the time it would take to read the book, but not to do all the exercises that are in the book. And that's what I've done, is I've condensed everything so that all they get is the essence, and they don't need all the other stuff. I mean, the other stuff comes once they get comfortable with understanding that they are the producers of what they need, and everything is between our own ears. That's how golf is played. That's how life is played. It's your attitude. The one thing that in life, no matter how bad things are, you control your attitude about them. I mean, we have prisoners of war in different places in the world, and it was the attitude of that individual is how they got through their trying times. And that's an extreme case. But when you relate that to each individual, some individuals have tremendous bad things happen to them. And it's only if you look at it, I believe in God and higher power, and we only get handed as much trouble as we can handle. And once you get to understand that and just handle it and move on
right.
to the next place, because there's going to be some balance of good and evil. So good things will happen to you if you keep going.
Yep. As you said earlier, you learn more from those failures or challenges, humans challenges, not as either failures or problems. You really learn a lot more from those than you do from the successes, because you start taking yourself too seriously with a lot of successes.
Absolutely. That's you just look at it. If you have a plan, then you can look and see where that, if you're off target, if you're over at some place that you didn't plan to be and you're getting tipped over, and that, by that I mean anything that bad is happening to you or anything unplanned for is happening to you, and you've allowed yourself to drift off course, and that's when these bad things do happen to us. But it's still our attitude that gets us back on track. And if the individual has a plan, then it's one part of what they're doing will be able to get into their situation and how they handle their financial problems. Because everybody has the idea, well, I need more money. If I had more money, then all my problems would be over. That's not true.
Right.
What you have to do is figure out what things you need in order to get the things that bring you happiness. And I deal with the Madison Street Veterans Association, where I'm teaching homeless vets. And one of the problems is that with them, I'm talking to their cadre so that they can teach the book to other people in their group. And one of the gentlemen said, well, I don't see any benefit to this, because all you're talking about is making money. And I said, no, that's not what I'm talking about.
Right.
I'm saying each individual must stand as an individual and supply enough productivity to produce income so they can support themselves. Only then can you go out and help somebody else. A lot
right.
of people that say, well, I'd rather be poor but honest. Well, that makes no sense.
Right, right.
Not poor but honest. If you're poor, you're just poor because that's what you've accepted. Not
yep.
that your mom didn't do it to you, your dad didn't do it to you. Between your ears is doing it to you. You need to understand you are in control. And once you get to take care of yourself, then you look out and say, okay, now I can help my family because I can help myself. And I can tell them how I help myself get self-sufficient. My goal is right now is to help Americans understand we are not consumers. I dislike our government telling us to go spend money because we're consumers. I am not a consumer. I am a producer. I'm a producer of jobs as long as the government will get off my back and let me go forward. I will hire people, and I will have jobs. I will create jobs, which I've always done, but I'm not doing it in a socialistic endeavor where
Correct.
Each need gets handled by me or the top 1%. The top 10% of the people in the United States are paying 70% of the taxes.
Yep.
Now, how much more does the government think the rich should pay? You know, that's not – I didn't start out with money. I'll tell you that, too. I didn't come from money. My father was successful in his own way, but not until he was later on in his life, when he figured out that he didn't like just making money. He wanted to be a farmer. So he put us through schools in the city, and then he moved on to having a small farm in his retirement time. But he was not successful in his life, or didn't feel he was, until he got back to the land. Now, that was individual for him. I mean, he graduated from high school in June of 1929, and if you remember what happened in October of 1929, you know it wasn't a happy place for a young person to be. And the bad economic things that are happening today happen to be opportunities. And when people come to a company like yours, and especially the programs that you have set up, they then become in control of their income and their future financial abilities. So
Correct.
they need And I'm not saying they put all of their money in your basket, but they put a substantial amount of money in your basket because you have some programs that really will work for people.
No, I have to agree with you in the control piece, and that's why I asked you about the self-directed IRA. I mean, a lot of people just are not aware that they can control their own destiny. Hey, one of the things you do, and I've mentioned this to a number of people, so if you wouldn't mind, we're going to pass a mirror to each one of our listeners at the moment, and we're going to hand them that mirror and ask them to take a look into it. Why don't you share how you start many of your courses?
Well, I thought about going to the first time I went to talk to the homeless vets, and I was trying to figure out some way to get them to understand I'm not coming down from the mountain with the tablets of stone to tell them how to live their life.
Right.
The person who controls your life is you. And so what I do is I would ask your listeners to go get a mirror and look in it. Although they're going to be looking at this very handsome person looking back at them, there they are. The bad news is that person is the one that's causing all of their problems, both financial, emotional, any other kind of ways. If you're a normal, healthy human being, citizen of the United States, you have so much going for you. And if you don't have what you want, look in the mirror, because that's the person causing you problems. It's not mommy. It's not daddy. It's not all the bad things that's happened to you in your life. It's the person and how they handle those. Now, the good news is that same good-looking person that's looking back at you is the person that's going to solve all your problems. They're going to take all of your problems into consideration because, A, you're going to buy Success or Failure, The Choice is Yours, by Tom Legring and T.J. Legring Jr., and you're going to read it. You're going to do the – it's a workbook. You're going to write in it, and you're going to figure out what success is. Then you're going to make some excess money, and you're going to contact the Ronald, and he's going to help you invest in it. And that's what the MIR program is. It's understanding. It's between your ears. It's your attitude. And it's you. And once you take responsibility for the entity of you, you've got it made. I mean, the rest of it's just academic. I mean, you just move forward with what you've already been given. As you know and you write down, you are entitled to what you produce. And nobody else should be entitled to what you produce. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
No, and I think it's a great message, and yet I would imagine that half or more of the people going through that little exercise would have the reaction of, oh, I was hoping for a magic bullet. I would have paid $5,000 for this course that gives me the magic bullet, how to become wealthy and successful, and you're telling me that there is no scapegoat. I can't point to my parents, as you said, or I can't point to my first grade teacher or my boss or my neighbors or the friends I hang around with and say, oh, they're the ones holding me back. I'm the one holding myself back. I mean, where's my scapegoat if all of a sudden I'm in charge of my life? I mean, that's got to be scary to a lot of people.
It isn't if you had no answer to it. And the answer to it is in the book, which is you define what success means to you. If it's only, and I was one of the people that's in our group, Mary Louise, she's a minister, and she talks to the homeless vets, and she's part of that whole group. And she said, well, I was raised in a family where money was just not that important. Other things that you did were important. And all I'd say to her is, how frugally you want to live your life is totally up to you, as long as you let it be up to you, not dictated to you by your accepted circumstances. So
right.
I don't think people should have a 25,000-foot house. I mean, I've had big houses and the big cars, the Bentleys and all that other junk, and my wife and I decide we don't like that anymore. We're not
right.
into being consumers. But that's what we define success for in our life. And so we're looking out to, we've taken care of ourselves. and we've given our kids opportunities so they can take care of themselves, our family finances are put into a family trust, and my youngest child will get to buy a Porsche when he's 80 years old. So they're not getting the money from what I produced in my lifetime. What they're getting is the advantage of having the opportunity to work for the company that is the LLC that's holding their trust, but they won't get the benefits from it until later, and that's one of the things that they get to have opportunities, which most people have, they just don't recognize them. And on that point, I want to point out, too, that once you define success, and then you start looking at this balanced life, opportunities will open up to you that you never thought imaginable. And just like I was talking about Pat Horton,
right?
He says, it's amazing how many opportunities have opened up to her in the last 2 years. If you see this lady, she's 78 years old, and you couldn't find a happier, more content lady on the planet. I mean, she is so into what she's doing. As she says, it's just like myself. I'm at one of the happiest places in my life, and I've had a very good life. I've had some tip-overs and all that other stuff, but I've had a good life, and I have a good life right now. But this is almost magical when you can take care of yourself, and then you can start reaching out and helping other people. Not by gifting them, except giving them opportunity. And I think
teaching them to fish.
Does your company gives people opportunities where they can control? They take their money and put it in a self-directed IRA account, and then they direct it into the invest vehicles that you've put together. Which I, as I said, I worked a lot of those myself when I was bringing my company up. And it was outstanding, the returns that people got.
Yeah, a lot of people are just so used to, as you said, it's the Wall Street's marketing. Now, you're donating your books, your time, working with vets and people that are really down and out, trying to give them a better life. You mentioned these Wednesday morning, and it's 7:30 on Wednesday morning at the Sun City Country Club. There's a networking session. And following that, you also have courses for people that buy your book, which basically, as you also said, is a donation to charity, but nonetheless, to commit that few dollars to come and listen and take part in those sessions. So first of all, kudos. So using the blessings you've received during your life and helping others learn from your experience. So that's my first point. Kudos for doing that. And secondly, I assume, given how much you're donating, both time and money, that you could use some help from donations from others. What's the best way that others could help in your endeavors to help the homeless vets, to help others in need, and to send this message out that success and failure are a choice that each individual has?
Well, I think there's three things. If they would take this blog talk radio show that you're doing and post it on their email, and send it out to their list of listeners and friends, and let them hear it, and they could contact me at www.successorfailure.org. But if they have some people that they know could use the book, or if they could use the book, if they're local, they're more than welcome to come to our Wednesday meeting and be able to sit in with us. This Wednesday before Thanksgiving is going to be dark, but the following Wednesday right up to Christmas, and we do this year-round. And then what I do is I mentor people. If you buy the book, you get 30 days of free mentoring, and actually I will mentor you right up until you actually do a business plan. If you want to have a business and you will go through the effort of doing a business plan, I will work with any person that works that will do the work and do the exercise. I am not about to help people that have. There's a German parable or phrase that says charity does not look at need. Well, I'm not into charity. I'm into helping people who want to help themselves. So I'm one level above St. Mary's Food Bank, where mm-hmm. if you have a need, you can have some food. And I see people drive up in their Mercedes getting yep. their packages. That makes me very upset, but that's up to them and their God. They can do what they want. But I look at being able to mentor people, and so that's part of it. Now, the next step, buy the book is a great way to do it. Send this radio blog talk out to their friends and let them know of it. And then if they know of any nonprofit, and here's my mm-hmm. thing that I've been looking at, is there's all these organizations set up to give help, like to the veterans, and give help to this group I'm working with, Eve's Place, to help victims of domestic violence. All these different organizations, another one we're trying to work with is juvenile delinquents that are in custody. And what we want to do is be able to reach out. We want to be a service that provides a step from where these people are to where they want to be. Not just there's no nonprofits that help them, but there's no thing that gets them trained up so they don't keep needing the help. And I want
good
to be
point.
That group.
That is a good point, because you're quite frankly, I guess most charities are set up to give out money.
Yeah, give
and
out
that's
money and
giving them a fish.
And then they say, pat them on the fanny and say, okay, next. But they don't give them anything that's going to help them do next. They don't have any way to get that person's need taken care of and make the person understand that their need has to be solved first by them and their effort. Once they understand that an American, it's not just about the handout society and what your government can do for you, because that means you're taking it away from a producer. So it's how you become a producer of you, of the needs that you have. How do you satisfy your needs so you can then help other people?
I mean, you're really touching on the fundamentals of how this country was built. It wasn't built on social welfare. And people get kind of lazy if you hand it to them.
There's people that, and I don't want to pick on any race, but there's different groups in our Congress that are set up ethnicity. And there's new people coming into those groups saying, those old systems of handouts don't work. They demean people. And that's what I'm trying to get away from. I want people to say, I may need a handout for right now because I'm absolutely going to starve to death. But I'm not driving up in my Mercedes to pick up my food at the St. Mary's Food Bank or the Olive Branch or these different places. You drive by there and see when they're having their breakfast or lunch for $2 and look at the cars in that parking lot.
I have, unfortunately. You're right.
The crime. Those people, you know, they're getting some bad marks on their way to heaven. That's all I can tell you. Their stopping in purgatory is going to be a little longer. I mean,
I'm involved in one of those programs.
A lot of missteps I've made, and that's part of what life is payback. You get it from one way or the other, and it's a lot easier to gain and then give. And you have to gain enough to take care of you as an individual so that you can move on to the next place.
Exactly. Well, Tom, I've been grilling you. Are there some additional things you'd like to share with the audience so that I don't steer the conversation completely here?
Well, I'm really, I think that you've really covered a lot of it for me. As I said, I donate about 40 hours a week to helping others in volunteer situations. And I am looking for more. Dr. Terry Munther is helping me get the book accredited, and we will probably write a sequel to it.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much an addition to it, but to flesh this out more and give people more examples, because this is really bare bones. It's just what a person needs to get themselves going without too much interference and too much pontificating, because I mm-hmm. really want people to understand it's between their ears. If they would sit down, I mean, we have 9% unemployment in this country, and that's what the government tells us, and we know what the government does. There's probably 16 to 18% unemployment where people have just given up. And in Arizona, there's going to be 146,000 people have their unemployment benefits end in another by the end of this month on a 30th. And all I'm trying to say is, I met people that are getting unemployment, and they say, well, I've been offered several jobs, but I'm not, why should I work? Because I'm not making enough where I would go to work as I would get if I stay on my unemployment.
Right.
And the point, that is such a sad statement on their ability. They are not doing anything. See, if you took that time and did something productive, I'm okay with it. But to just take the money, and you're taking it from other Americans. You're taking it from our country. It isn't your right to have over 100 months of free money. I mean, that was never set up to do that. This new Congress, the one that's in existence now, not the new one coming in, had the idea that that was totally okay to just keep extending. Don't help people produce jobs or demand people become self-sufficient. Don't do any of that stuff, because it might be good for the country as opposed to what they're doing in countries without borders. I mean, we have to understand that each of us has to stand up and be an American and do the things that Americans do, which is not go out and look for handouts. We give handouts. We don't get handouts.
Boy, I have to agree with you. We need people like you in government. I wish it were set up in such a way that, you know, there'd be some excitement for you to be there, because I know that helping people is probably more exciting than trying to tilt with the windmills in Congress, and that's a bit of a shame, because we do need good people like you. Well, Tom, many, many thanks for sharing and challenging each of us today and passing that mirror around and getting us to really take responsibility, because that's really what it's all about. I appreciate that, Tom. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me on.
And our next Wealth DNA radio show is on December 27th. That's the third day of Christmas. So I'll wait to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy Hanukkah until that time. During that show, we're going to focus on the D in Wealth DNA. That's the desire piece. See, what we just talked about with Tom, there's an assumption that most of us want to be successful. And we think about it, we talk about it, and yet inherently, subconsciously, we've got a lot of things holding us back. We're going to focus on that part of it. And we sabotage ourselves, I guess, what it comes down to with the desire. I'm hoping to have Dr. Carlton on the show in the next few months, if not next month, the month after, to share his thoughts. He's written articles on the topic of addiction to poverty. Think about that some, but he's an expert on addiction, so I'd love to have him on the show, and we are trying to get him on. And if it works for that time, I'll make sure that you get the message. We dedicate this show to helping people become wealthy and successful. And wealth can be in a variety of different ways, but we really do want you to have the financial wherewithal to have those decisions, as Tom had told us earlier. You have enough money, now you can decide how to help others and to share that. And my objective is to create a million millionaires, and those million millionaires, if they all, or even half, or 10% of them, do what Tom does to help others, this world's going to be a heck of a lot better place than it is today. We'll start the new year off right by holding the next live Learn to Earn a Higher Return seminar on January 11th. So put that on your calendar if you can make that here in the Phoenix area. In the meantime, I look forward to your questions, comments, and suggestions. Just email me. It's ron@theronald.us. So ron@theronald.us. And I'd like to remind you the website to get Tom's book and to learn more about him, and hopefully you can join him at some of the sessions. www.successorfailure.org. Remember, .org. much like a organization to help people. It's not a .com. It's not a profit-type business. So, .org. I'd like to wish each of you and your families a very happy Thanksgiving. And to give you that to-do we mentioned earlier, take some time this week to make a list of the many things you're thankful for. Happy Thanksgiving.
You've been listening to Wealth DNA with the Ron Naraki. Wealth DNA is a Boomer and the Babe Enterprises radio production. Contact them at boomerandthebabe.com.